This is In the News for July 12, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First up today from Environmental News Service at www.ens-newswire.com. It's out of The Hague, the Netherlands, dated July 10th. U.S. will miss treaty deadline to destroy chemical weapons. The United States has requested a five-year extension to the deadline for completing destruction of its chemical weapons stockpile. But even if the extension is granted, the new deadline cannot be met, a U.S. ambassador says. The United States possesses the second largest chemical weapons stockpile in the world, more than 27,700 metric tons of deadly VX, GB, HD, mustard and sarin nerve agent, and associated explosives. They must be destroyed under the Chemical Weapons Convention, a treaty signed by 178 countries. Ambassador Eric Javits, head of the U.S. delegation to the Executive Council of the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, submitted the extension request to the Council during a session that ended Friday at The Hague, Netherlands. The draft request would extend the deadline for the destruction of the entire U.S. chemical weapons stockpile 5 years from April 2007 to April 2012. Javits told the Council that the United States is asking for an extended deadline of April 29, 2012 because it is the latest date the treaty allows. But even if the extension is granted, the U.S. will not be able to destroy all its chemical weapons by then. There's a lot more on this, an extensive article at Environmental News Service again. That's at ens-newswire.com. Next up, from commondreams.org and taken from The Independent, the United Kingdom, dated July 12th. It's written by Jonathan Brown. Green reaction: environmentalists express dismay at a huge mistake. Environmental groups reacted with dismay at the plan to go ahead with a new generation of nuclear power stations. Friends of the Earth's director, Tony Juniper, described the conclusion of the Energy Review as a, quote, huge mistake and a disaster. He said, quote, nuclear power is unsafe, uneconomic, and unnecessary. We can tackle climate change and meet our energy needs through clean, safe technologies, end quote. Mr. Juniper said the British taxpayer would be left to pick up the nuclear bill and called for a new climate change law requiring annual reductions in carbon dioxide emissions. Greenpeace's executive director, Stephen Tindale, blamed the Prime Minister's personal fixation with nuclear power for fatally undermining green energy policy. He said, quote, when Tony Blair leaves office, Britain can get on with tackling climate change and fostering energy security without reaching for the technologies of the past. Blair fixed his own energy review to make it a manifesto for nuclear power, end quote. That was Stephen Tindale, Greenpeace's executive director. The Green Alliance director and former DEFRA special advisor Stephen Hale said the government's support for nuclear power would deter investment in other forms of energy. He said, quote, climate change is the pretext for the government's position on nuclear, but a rethink of the aviation white paper would be far more effective as part of a climate strategy, end quote. Even the government's principal advisory body, the Sustainable Development Commission, chaired by Jonathan Porritt, said it was very disappointed by the decision to back a new nuclear program. Welcoming some of the proposals on renewable energy, Mr. Porritt said, quote, the principal challenge now is delivery, not further policy refinement, end quote. The Green Party spokesman Keith Taylor said the government was living in a fool's paradise in its attempt to use nuclear power to combat climate change. He said, quote, nuclear eats up cash, which could be far more effectively used elsewhere, and it already has high carbon emissions from construction and fuel processing. Indeed, the limited supplies of high-grade uranium will soon be exhausted, forcing exploitation of low-grade uranium sources, raising both costs and carbon emissions even further, end quote. Paul Jeffress, head of environmental policy at the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds, warned that wildlife sites should not be sacrificed to make way for wind farms. He said, quote, any statement of national renewables needs should be accompanied by a strategic environmental assessment, end quote. Again, that's from The Independent, taken from commondreams.org, written by Jonathan Brown. Next up, back to the Environmental News Service at ens-newswire.com. Pearl Jam offsets climate footprint of 2006 World Tour. This is out of Los Angeles, dated July 10th. Tonight, Pearl Jam is on stage at the Forum in the midst of a 69-date world tour that opened April 20th in London, England, and will close November 25th in Perth, Australia. The band has decided to offset emissions of the greenhouse gas carbon dioxide released on the tour from the trucks, buses, airplane travel, hotel rooms, concert venues, and fans driving to and from their concerts. by providing funding to 9 nonprofit organizations that help in various ways to reduce global warming. Calling the initiative their quote-unquote carbon portfolio, the band announced today that they are contributing a total of $100,000 to the American Solar Energy Society, the Bonneville Environmental Foundation, the Cascade Land Conservancy, Conservation International, Earth Corps, Green Empowerment, Honor the Earth, Island Wood, and the Washington Clean Energy Initiative. The negative impacts associated with rising global temperatures as a result of increased CO2 emissions include variable and volatile weather, increased diseases, the depth of coral reefs, and the melting of the polar ice caps. One of the band's carbon portfolio partners is the Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit Conservation International. To offset emissions associated with the band's tour, Conservation International, in collaboration with 2 Ecuadorian organizations, is working to restore up to 30 hectares or 74 acres of degraded tropical forest in northwestern Ecuador. There's a lot more on this article as well at Environmental News Service, ens-newswire.com. This has been In the News for July 12, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We'll talk to you next time.